Let me tell you what I'm going to talk about, and then we'll pray before we start. How many of you like the season when it starts getting darker? Not too many people like this. Do you like it? The thing I like about this season is that Christmas is coming. And I love all the lights that happen and all the fun stuff that happens around Christmas. And I was just thinking about that today as Pastor Lynn and I were driving back from Salt Lake. And I wrote down some points about turning the light on. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight. So let's turn the light on in our lives. Amen. The light changes everything. And Jesus is, of course, the light of the world, which we're going to be celebrating through Christmas. So this is just a little precursor for our holiday season. Is that okay with y'all? I sound like I've been in the South. Praise the Lord. Well, let's just pray. Father, we just are grateful that we get to be in your presence. And we just love you, Jesus. And we're so thankful that the light of the world came to live on the world, in the world, so that we could experience that light on the inside of us. Father, tonight, I just pray that you would speak through my lips. You'd open our ears to hear from whatever your spirit wants us to hear tonight. And Father, we are just so grateful that we get to be your children and we get to love you and be a part of your family. What a beautiful thing that is. And tonight I do just pray, Father, that we would be ready to not only hear, but we'd be ready to do what your word tells us to do in Jesus' name. We don't want to just be hearers, but we want to be doers of the word as well. Amen. Glory to God. Okay, well, I have 5 points. And the first one is we're going to turn the light on the inside. And I think this is an interesting place to start because when we turn the light in, we look inside our heart and we see what's going on in there. And sometimes we're happy with it and sometimes we're not. And there's times when there could be a little bit of bitterness growing, or there could even be unforgiveness growing, or just maybe even some attitudes that just are not godly. And I think that's the very first thing we need to do is turn the light inside. Let's be really self-aware of what's going on in us. You know, we've all experienced things in our lives that can really make us go down a negative path if we want, right? That's happened to everybody. So if you feel like you're the only one that's happened to, you're not the only one. Things happen and we have the choice. Is this going to make us a better person, or are we going to get bitter and hard and crusty? And my prayer is always that we get better. And that's the cool thing about God. He can take any circumstance we've gone through and turn it around so that he gets the glory in the end of it. And isn't that amazing how he does that? One of the things I think that's so important for us to watch out for is unforgiveness. And I didn't get to give my notes to the words people so they don't have these written on the screen tonight. But I always like to open the word a lot. So if you have your Bible with you, I'd love for you to turn to 2 Corinthians with me. Chapter 2 and verse 10 talks about getting rid of unforgiveness. It says, "Now whom you forgive anything, I also forgive." Isn't that interesting? God says if we forgive them, he'll forgive them. "For if I indeed have forgiven anything, I have forgiven that one for your sakes in the presence of Christ, lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices." Don't you know that the enemy has ways of getting his little hook into our lives and just making us feel like, you know, this, the thing that happened to us is the worst thing ever. Nobody can understand. It's just awful. But we don't want to give the enemy even room for a foothold like that. So we operate in forgiveness. So that's one of those secret things that can be going on in the inside of us. Then another scripture I want us to look at is in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1. Probably some of you can quote this. Does anybody know this one by heart? "Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us." You know, it does say sins in there, but it says weights too, doesn't it? Sometimes we can see the obvious sin. You know, if we've told a lie, we know we told a lie. If sometimes there's just things around us that are weights, and it could be even watching a TV show that's not edifying, or, you know, sometimes we just know. As soon as you start doing something, you know, this really isn't worth my time. I shouldn't be wasting my time on this. Turn it off. Amen? Sometimes it could be actual weight. Maybe food has become a god in your life. There could be lots of things that can happen that can be weights in our life. But what are some of the weights that have hindered you in your life? Just think about that and watch and be self-aware. It's important for us that we don't have any secrets going on. The other thing that we can do is look at what sins have become so regular in our life that they're like a habit now. Because that happens to lots of us. You know, you start out, we probably all know people who start out just telling little lies, and then all of a sudden their fabrications are bigger and bigger, and it's really hard to keep track of what's really real in their life because they don't live in the truth. Those kind of things are so important for us to watch out for in life. So what sins have become habits? Sin starts in your thought life. becomes an imagination and then becomes a stronghold. If you want to look at a scripture that talks about that, I talk about this scripture a lot because it is so important for us to know the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, right? But they are spiritual. But this is so cool in 2 Corinthians 10, verse 4 and 5 and 6. If you can see the progression happening, sometimes you can stop it before it goes to the next one. And in verse 4 of chapter 10, 2 Corinthians, it says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ." So a thought becomes an imagination, becomes a stronghold. It's a progression that happens really easy. We hang on to a thought instead of capturing that thought and saying, you know, I'm going to replace that with the Word of God. We just hang on to it. And then we start thinking about it. And then all of a sudden it can be a stronghold in our life. And it happens just like that every time. The cool thing, the opposite can happen with faith. It starts in a thought. We get pregnant with that thought. And then all of a sudden what we were believing for comes to pass. But we want to do it the right way, not the opposite way that the enemy wants us to go. Got it? Praise the Lord. Okay. One of the things that happens with secrets is they are to sickness as openness is to wholeness. And I think that's an important thought for us to remember. If you're holding secrets in your life, that's like a sickness. But if you live your life in the truth, in the open, you're going to walk into wholeness. And wholeness is where we want to be. Amen? We want to walk in that and live in that. So we don't want to be bound. We want total freedom in every area of our life. And he whom the Son sets free is free indeed. I love that. Let's turn to that scripture because the second verse after that is so cool. That's in John 8, 31 and 32. And it says, let me read it to you. "Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, 'If you abide in my word, and you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.'" We hear that second verse a lot all by itself, but it looks like that first verse is conditional, is the condition that makes the second verse come to pass, right? So let me read it again to you. "Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, 'If you abide in my word,'" are we word people? We are Bible readers. We love the word of God. Amen. "You are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Hallelujah. And then when it comes to finding out what's going on in a heart, we should learn to guard our heart because there's things that we shouldn't let in there. Whenever we feel attacked by thoughts that are going to bring us to a place of bitterness or walking in unforgiveness, we have to say, that's not coming in. I'm not going to let that in. Amen. And guarding your heart, that's in Proverbs 4:23, and that's such a powerful verse as well. You guys tired of turning around in your Bible? Hope you're not, because it's so good. Proverbs 4, verse 23 says, "Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life." The King James Version doesn't say keep. It says guard your heart with all diligence. So we're going to look inside. We're going to take that light. We're going to look in here first. Okay? So secrets can be of all kinds, and you take it wherever you need to take it. If there's something you're doing in secret that you need to deal with, God knows your heart. Amen? And the cool thing about walking in a body is we're all here to help you grow from there and not have to stay in a secret. Amen? Glory to God. Okay, the second place that we're going to turn the light on is right on the inside of us. And I love this verse in Proverbs 20, verse 7. Just turn over a couple pages from where we were. And it says, let me read it to you. Proverbs 20, verse 7. "The righteous man walks in his integrity, and his children are blessed under him." And I wrote down the wrong verse. 20:27. Sorry, there we go. Praise the Lord. "The spirit of a man is the lamp of the Lord, searching all the inward depths of his heart." I just think that's the coolest verse when you think about it. The spirit, our spirit, is the lamp of the Lord. He wants to shine his light through us. Amen? Isn't that the coolest thing? Are you excited about that? Your spirit is the lamp of the Lord. Isn't that the coolest thing? Just think about that. You know, he comes to live in our temple, which is amazing, but he wants his light to show through us. And that's in Proverbs 20, verse 27. There it is. Praise the Lord. And the more Jesus we have in us, the more light we have, right? Praise the Lord for that. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." Does anybody know where that one's found? Right off the bat. John chapter 8, verse 12. Let's go there together if you want. And let's read it. John 8, verse 12. I don't hear any pages. Is everybody doing it on their phones and everything anymore? Oh, I hear one page back there. Good job. A real Bible. Awesome. They're all real Bibles, so it's good. Okay, John 8, verse 12 says, "Then Jesus spoke to them, saying, 'I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life.'" Wow, that's one of those verses you just think about and think, I don't have to walk in darkness. I have the light of life right on the inside of me. How amazing. Okay, and then you look at that beautiful verse, and then think about what Jesus calls us. Let's go back to Matthew 5, verse 14. Everybody go in there? I don't hear any pages. You got it already? It was Pastor Tex who used to tell us to. You got it? I don't got it yet. I'm getting there. Matthew chapter 5, verse 14. This is all in red in my Bible. So who's talking? Jesus is talking. It says, "You are the light of the world." So he's talking to you. Say, that's me. That's me, right? "You are the light of the world. A city that is set high on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to the whole house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." Whew, those are awesome words, aren't they? Amazing. He called himself the light, and then he called us the light. And why is that? Because we're his temple, and his light is in us and gets to come out through us. Hallelujah. I'm excited about that. Hope you are. So we're God's candle. We are a city that's set on a hill that cannot be hidden. Amazing, isn't it? And his word brings light to our path. I can remember as a pioneer girl, as a little Baptist girl, we learned this scripture. In Psalms chapter 119, 105 says, "Your word is a light to my path." No, that's not right. My memory. "Lamp to my feet and a light to my path." There we go. Thank you. Every time I remember something right, I have a little party that goes on in my head. You know, does that happen to all of you? Yay. Woo-hoo. It worked out right. But Psalms 119:05, his word brings light and life to our path. When we don't know what to do, we just take that next step and there'll be light for that next step. Hallelujah. How cool is that? And then another thing about his spirit is the lamp of the Lord on the inside of us. He wants to speak to us. I know I spoke about that a little bit last week, but God wants to speak to us and he wants to speak through us. So there's times when your heart is hurting over a situation or something that's going on in your life and you think, God, I just need to hear from you. And guess what? He wants to speak to you. And then often he'll use even what you've been studying or looking at or perhaps even, you know, the word of the day that you get on your phone, or maybe you read the word from my encouraging word that I give out. Maybe that's for you to give to somebody else, because that's what we are, is we're a vessel of blessing to others. Amen. So he brings light to our path and he wants to speak to us. One of my favorite scriptures, and I feel like every time I speak or almost every time I speak, I get the opportunity to use this verse because I think it's so important for us to know that we are his sheep and we know his voice. We know his voice because we're listening to his voice and we're familiar with it. You know, a mama kind of can tell, is that my baby? Oh yeah, that's my baby crying. I need to go see who that is. Or even if their child calls the name, that doesn't always work for me because I answer to anybody who calls me mom, you know, it could be anywhere. But if Danielle or Leah would say, "Mom," I can know that's their voice. And I would say, "What do you need? What do you need?" I'd find them in the crowd because I know their voices. And we are God's sheep and we know his voice. And this scripture is in chapter 10 of John. The whole chapter 10, well, all of John is so good. I encourage you to read the whole book. But John 10:27 says, "My sheep hear my voice." So the word listeners, first of all, "and I know them and they follow me." Are you a follower? Yes, we are, aren't we? We know his voice and we follow him. Praise the Lord. "I will give them eternal life and they will never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand." I love that. Praise the Lord. So we need to create an expectation of God speaking to us. I know I talked about this a little bit last week, how I believe for God to speak through my sons and daughters, just like it says in Joel 2:28-29. And I believe God's going to speak to me. And there's times when we don't know what to do in the natural. But we can just expect that God's going to speak to us. And I do this when at my own house. I have a little chair that I love to sit in, and I call it my Jesus chair. And that's where I meet with God on a regular basis. I don't know if you have something like that, but I encourage you to find a place of expectation of God speaking to you. So if it means you need to do it when everybody's out of, you know, before everybody's up, or maybe after everybody's gone to bed, but to have a quiet place to do that, I think is really important, because when we cause that expectation on the inside, God wants to speak to us. He wants to help us, help people around us, to give us words of encouragement for other people. And we need to be open to listening to his voice so that we can be able to share it with others. It's a great, great place to be. He wants to speak to you. So have that expectation. Where do you let him talk to you? Do you let him talk to you while you're in the car? I know that sometimes, I've heard this from my mom. She says, you know, when you get elderly, you don't get very much sleep. I said, well, you know what? I'm just going to take that every time you wake up, that you're going to be praying for me. Because God can use whatever time we're awake to be doing something good for the kingdom of God. And I think whenever I wake up unexpectedly, and I am a sound sleeper, if you need the sleep anointing, I've got it. I'll give it away. I sleep very soundly. I wake up early. So if you like to wake up early, I can pray for you. But Lynn always jokes with me that I could fall asleep on a raft in the middle of the ocean with sharks around me, because I just can sleep anywhere. But I feel like if I wake up unexpectedly in the night, God wants to say something to me. I want to be ready and aware and listening for his voice. Maybe it's, you know, pray for your children, or maybe it's pray for a situation in the government, or pray for something across the world, on the other side of the world. Sometimes we don't even know. And that's where praying in tongues is so beautiful and wonderful, that you can just start praying in the spirit. But how beautiful to spend that time creatively instead of frustrated, flopping over and back and forth in bed, just angry because you can't go back to sleep. Take it, make it something positive. Amen. Praise the Lord, because your spirit is the lamp of the Lord. Listen to his voice. I like to think of his word as oxygen to us. And you can breathe it in and you can pray it out. How wonderful that is. Praise the Lord. Let him show you things that you can't figure out in the natural. Have you ever had a situation you didn't know how to figure it out in the natural? What does Jeremiah 33:3 say? Does anybody remember? Let's turn there together. If you want, Daniel, Hosea, Joel, and Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi, and Matthew. And I went too far, didn't I? It's Jeremiah 33. And verse 3, it says, call on me and I will answer you. I like that part. That sounds pretty good up to that point, doesn't it? And what does the second part say? And show you great and mighty things which you do not know. How many of you can say, I have not known some things before, and God can speak to my heart about how to figure it out? I think we just have to be ready and prepared for God to do that to us. That's what he wants to do. He wants to show us things that we don't know how to figure out on our own. And that's where we can let our spirit be the lamp of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Okay, so we're turning the light on, because the light changes everything, right? And Jesus is the light of the world. The third point is, get filled with the Spirit. I think we talked very thoroughly about this last week. In case you didn't get it, I do see a tape over here. Did they seem to make that work, Pastor Rob? There is something over there that says, no, not yet. Okay. Well, I get to preach that again sometime, because it didn't work. But you know what? If you want any questions answered, I'll even send you my notes, because I think there's so many questions that people have that they just didn't know there was an easy answer to. And it's really kind of cool to be able to answer them. But being filled with the Spirit is one of the most wonderful ways to turn the light on in your life. It makes the word come alive like you never have experienced before. And I can remember, I think I even said this last week, that when I started reading the word after I was filled with the Holy Spirit, it was like it was popping off the page at me. It just felt like it was alive. And those words weren't just black and white on and red on pages. It was something that was life-filled, and that's what God's word should be to us. Amen? So be filled with the Holy Spirit. If you had the opportunity to have no light or light, I'm going for light. If you had the opportunity for power off or power on, no-brainer, right? We're going to go for power on. Praise the Lord. Power on. Stay on, little guy here. Praise the Lord. So to experience all the light that we get from being filled with the Holy Spirit, I encourage you, pray in the Spirit every single day. In fact, every single person I pray for to be filled with the Holy Spirit, I tell them from that day forward, every single day of your life, make sure you're praying in the Holy Spirit. take the moments that you just are getting out of bed or just lay in bed for a couple of minutes before you even put your feet on the side of the bed and just give your day to God and say, God, today, it's your day. Create those divine appointments that you want me to be able to speak to people or to encourage people or even my own family or my husband or even, you know, whatever I'm doing, that whatever I do glorifies you. And then just pray in the Spirit for just a little while. And then get to see what God can do when we give him the opportunity. Amen. You know, in Acts chapter 1, where we talked about last week, there were 500 people that could have been in the upper room, right? But how many were there? 120. Do you want to be a part of the 120 or the ones that missed out? Let's be a part of the ones that got in on the goodness. Amen? So good. And then build yourself up on your most holy faith by praying the Holy Spirit. Jude verse 20 is such a great verse. You know, if you think about a muscle, you can let it atrophy or you can use those muscles and make them work. And especially as you get older, they say you need to do some weight resistance and keep your muscles strong. That's a spiritual thing as well. We can think, oh, I know all those principles and I can do that. But you know what? You have to keep working it. Keep working it. And I can remember asking Lynn when we were still over at the Y, you know, believe in God for different things. When are we going to be able to quit using our faith? And he said, never. And I was like, oh, okay. They just get to be bigger and bigger things you believe for. And that's so true. We never get to stop using our faith. So just keep using those muscles and keep building yourself up on your most holy faith. We want not to be power empty. We want to be power full. Amen. Praise the Lord. The fourth reason or way that we are going to let the light shine is, especially during this season, let's let the light shine to our world. We read in Matthew 5 that we're a city set on a hill. People are watching you. They know you're a Christian. They're going to be watching you. You're sitting on a hill. How are you going to react when there's a traffic jam? How are you going to react when the lady at the service department doesn't treat you nicely? Are they going to look at you and say, oh my gosh, they're a Christian and they acted like that? Or are they going to say, my, they sure walk in the peace of God, even in the most adverse situations? Let's be that second one, right? Amen. Praise the Lord. We're supposed to go into all the world as a witness. In fact, let's read that in Mark chapter 16, Matthew, Mark chapter 16. And here's some pages. Good job. This can feel like a really heavy commandment, but it really is joy-filled because we get to let our light shine on the world. We get to go into all the world as a witness. And it says in verse 15, and he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. If you're not confident talking to people, you can start with your dog. It says creature, doesn't it? That was a funny. Nobody got that one. Oh, dear. Okay. If you want to practice on somebody who's not real, you know, not a person, you can start with your dog. But he who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. Why don't you just raise your hand and say, these signs are going to be following me. Amen. I'm going for that, aren't you? That in my name, they'll cast out demons and they will speak with new tongues. Praise God. We want to see that light flowing through us and see the miracles of God walking right, just like goodness and mercy are all around us. The miracles of God are following us because we're walking in his will. Amen. I know the great commandment can seem like your worst nightmare because it feels like it's a huge thing, but it's really such a joy and such a beautiful thing to know that we can have an eternal impact on somebody else's life. When we share the gospel with somebody, we've done our part. Their response is up to them. Right? And a lot of times we're afraid to share it with our neighbors or even with our relatives that might be over for holidays or whatever. But you know, the response is their deal. Our response, our action is just to be the light. And sometimes it doesn't even take words. Show the light of Jesus. Amen? Okay. We are ambassadors of heaven in a fallen world. We could be like a little candle. We could be like a flashlight. We can be like a spotlight, like one of these spotlights that is really hot. Or we can just be a little tiny flame. The way we get more flame is let more of the Holy Spirit flow through our life. Amen? And 3 points under this one is when we're going to let our light shine to the world, first of all, we have to take off the do not disturb sign. How many of us walk around with a do not disturb sign on our chest? You know, you put that in your hotel room door when you don't want the maid to come, whatever, it says do not disturb. But a lot of us just walk around with that on our chest, like, don't bother me. I'm going to keep my eyes down. I don't care about your problems. I've got enough of my own. But we have to take that off, don't we? And say, please disturb me. Jesus, I'm open to whoever you want me to talk to. Let me be a vessel of blessing to someone around me. The second thing is needs are everywhere. You don't have to look very far at all, and you can find needs everywhere. I used to think that you had to be real spiritual to look inside and say, oh, there's somebody that has a need. No. All you have to do is look at somebody's face. A lot of times you can be driving in a car and there's somebody crying next to you in their car. And you can just pray a prayer over them as you pass by them. I'm the kind of person that if I see somebody like that in the mall or at the store, I just ask them, hey, are you doing okay? And so often they're so thankful that somebody even cares. And often I hear their whole life story. But you know what? That's a divine appointment. God wanted me to minister to them, and all I had to do was not even my spiritual eyes be open, just my natural eyes. I could tell you're not feeling well. Can I pray for you? That happened one time when I was, does anybody remember when Ernst used to be right over here? Long, long time ago. But where Aaron Rents is. It used to be an Ernst store. We weren't here very long, and I saw the lady, and I could just tell she wasn't feeling well. And she was right in the line. I mean, she was the cashier, and I just said, do you mind if I just pray for you? And there's a whole bunch of people behind her. She said, right here and right now? I said, well, sure, if you don't mind. And I prayed for her, and she said, I don't believe it. That headache is totally gone. And all I had to do was look at her and see she was not feeling well. Let's be that kind of light around wherever we go. We can do that. You don't have to be a pastor's wife to do that, right? You can do that wherever you go. And your place is that I can't go. That's a cool thing. That's why God has us as a family, a body. I can't be in the school where you are. I can't be on your job where you are. But you're there, and you're going to be the light where you are. Amen? Praise the Lord. And then thirdly, don't be intimidated by others' lights. Sometimes we think, oh yeah, that's for somebody else to do. I'm not really confident in that, so I'll let somebody else do that. But if you see a need, be the person that says, I'm a need meter. How can I help that person today? That'd be a good thing to do. So let's shine the light to our world. And then the last point is, let's shine our light on each other. And I thought about as the holidays are coming, how sweet this is, that all of us would be bringing out the best gifts in each other. You know, we married our spouses because of all the things we loved about them. And then sometimes you think, that's the very thing that irritates me right now, right? Does that ever happen to anybody? Never. Okay. You love it that they're bold and courageous, and then you get so tired of still conquering another mountain. It's like, oh my gosh, when are we going to stop? But I think the coolest thing that we can do as in marriages is start to shine the light on each other. You know, if we know that our spouse has a gift somewhere, let's let that be magnified in a beautiful, wonderful way. If mothers and daughters would do that, how wonderful that relationship could be. Fathers and sons could do that, to shine the light on each other instead of looking for things to complain about, because it's easy to complain, but let's look for things that we can encourage each other in and shine that light on each other. When we realize that it's really not about us, it's all about Jesus, we're not going to be looking for the light. We're going to be seeing how we can shine it on somebody else. And I love it that we've even started just with Linda Preston has started shining the light on some of our single ladies and widows. How wonderful it is to see these gifts of these women coming to the surface because a little bit of light has been shown on them. How cool is that? Let's do that all during the season and all through the year for sure. So, can you be a blessing this holiday season? I think we all can. We can let the light come in and let it come on out of us and be the light wherever we are. You know, sometimes it's not even a real spiritual thing. And I think this is really important for us to realize that eye contact is really important with people. Let's find ways to look people in the eye. Turn a smile on your face. Put a smile on your face. Open your eyes. You can smile with your eyes, can't you? Did you see that smile coming to my eyes? We can do that. Look at people and encourage them even with a glance. And you know what that does is it validates and empowers people. And that's what we need to be doing, especially during the season, because we want to turn the light on. Amen? Let your body language speak good things. You know, if we walk around like this, how many people are going to want to come over and talk to us? We got our arms folded. Nobody's going to come over. If we open up ourselves and use your hands and your body to express love to other people, it's such a very good thing. Hugs are good too. So highlight other people's talents and abilities because it's not about you. Who's it all about? It's all about Jesus. Amen. And we're blessed in such incredible ways as believers, not just to keep it all to ourselves. You know, you think about how blessed we are. And I know I've said this statistic a couple times around here, but I think it's really powerful for us to think about that 70% of the world lives on less than $2 a day. To me, that just blows me away. You know, that's like pocket change for most of us. 70% of the world lives on less than $2 a day. And we're complainers, you know, if we can't get our coffee or whatever, and it costs $4 or $5 a day. I just think we have to realize how very blessed we are. And then when we look at that, we're blessed to be a blessing. And I love it how it says in Acts, and it's actually in red because it was Jesus' words, chapter 20, verse 35, says, it is more blessed to give than to receive. We think, oh, well, if I get something, I'll be blessed. It's just opposite, isn't it? If we give something, we'll be blessed. So find a way during this season to be a blessing to those around you. It's simple, and it really is. It doesn't have to even be money. A lot of times, something that you have as extra in your home could be something that somebody's believing God for. And if you let God speak to you, supernaturally, he could say, you know, there's a family in this church that needs a couch. You have two in your storage closet. Why don't you give them to them? Wouldn't that be just the coolest thing? What a wonderful way to share the love this holiday. And then I just wanted to give you this encouraging word tonight, because I think sometimes we can feel like our life is dark and we're in our darkest moment. But this is so true. Your darkest moment can't keep you from the brightest moments of the life that God has for you in your future. Think about that. Your darkest moment can't keep you from the brightest moment of life ahead of you. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Have you ever been in a dark place and you felt like it's never going to go away? Storms come to pass, don't they? They don't stay forever. Hallelujah. Well, praise the Lord. Well, it looks like our time's about up. And I just want to pray some things over us tonight before we go. The first thing I want to pray is for us as a body, and I know it's more than just us. I just pray that if any secret sin is going on, that it would just totally be eliminated, that we'd walk away from that and be free and live in the light. That's where God wants us to live. Amen? And then the second thing I want us to pray for is for boldness to be the witness to those people around us. What a beautiful season we have to do that in, because sometimes somebody who'd never come to church will come to a piano concert, or they'll come to a children's concert, or they'll come to a Christmas Eve service just because, oh, that sounds like a cool thing to do when you get to get the gospel into them. And maybe that's the turning point for their life. And the third thing I want us to pray for is that our whole body would just be filled with light and life this whole Christmas season. Can we pray for those three things? Hallelujah. Well, let's just all stand together and do that. Father, we just pray tonight. We're so grateful that you have such great love for us, and that the same words that Jesus spoke about being the light of the world, he spoke about us. And Father, we want to share that light and be that light wherever we go. And Father, I just pray tonight, Lord God, that that light would help expose any kind of secret sin that's going on in anyone's life. We just thank you for the love of God that helps us to walk into wholeness. And Father, we just believe that there's nothing that's too hard or too difficult for you. And though we may feel like we're bound by something that is just too hard to get loose of, we know that it's not too hard for you. And when we walk in the truth, we're going to experience great, great freedom in our life. We just pray for that over every single person here. And Father, I do pray that you would just give us boldness, that we wouldn't have to walk in fear. We wouldn't have to be timid. Father, we wouldn't have to even be just too busy to look at the needs of people around us. But we would have our eyes open. We would have our hearts open. We'd take off the do not disturb sign. And we would say, please, God, use me. I want to be able to minister to people around me. And then thirdly, God, we just pray that your light would shine through us brightly during this season. Father, we know there's lots of people that the holidays is very, very sad for because of loss of loved ones, or perhaps even just memories that are not pleasant. We just pray, God, that you would help us to bring life to them and light to them, and that we can be a blessing wherever we go. We thank you that you have blessed us to be a blessing. And Father, tonight I do just pray for every single person here. I thank you, God, that you've called us as a body together so that what we could do individually is small, but what we can do corporately is enormous, because there's such great power when we work together, when we pray together, when we serve together, when we worship together. And Father, we thank you, God, that we can change our community, and people around us can know that the light of the love of light and love of God shows and flows through us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.